You're listening to Innovation Radio, where we interview entrepreneurs focused on innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Innovation Radio is brought to you by the world's first theme park for entrepreneurs, the Lavan Center of Innovation, the only innovation center in the nation to support the founder's journey from birth of idea through successful exit or global expansion. Now, here's your host, Lee Cantor.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Innovation Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, the Lavan Center of Innovation. Without their generous support, we wouldn't be able to share these important stories. Today on Innovation Radio, we have Dustin Dubow and David Schopp. Dustin is with JWR Construction, and David is with Sharp Projects, and they were the team, part of the team behind the actual creation and building of the Lavan Innovation Center. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, David, in your role, can you share a little bit about how this project got started and how you were brought into it?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, this was a vision of Alan Lavan's, hence the name of the facility. We had worked with Alan's groups in prior years, and he was familiar with our ability to run projects and keep them on time and on budget, and felt that it would be good to have a independent party kind of overseeing the project's program design and construction. So we're owner's reps / project managers. So that's really what we do. So the project was conceived to be this innovation center that I think we're all aware of. We just had a nice introduction from John Wensveen. But we're typically engaged to help get a project tracked, scheduled, budgeted properly, and then assemble that team, which is what we did. And we assembled a real good one on this project. And I'd like to say that the project came in on time and on budget. So it was, and thanks to Dustin, obviously, on the construction side. So we were a big success for everyone.
Which is a pretty amazing, as it started during the pandemic, right?
Go ahead, Dustin.
yeah, absolutely. Right in the middle of the pandemic. It certainly didn't make the project any easier.
Right. So it added a degree of difficulty. But when you're starting a project like that, how did you start, like, kind of with the, you know, on the whiteboard and planning out, you know, okay, I want it to have these elements and I want it to have a certain look and feel. So it kind of, you know, kind of screams innovation as soon as somebody walks in the doors.
So I'll take that. I mean, we had a tiered group of designers. I think what was important is P2 Poncherera was part of our team. And he was brought in by Alan Lavan as well to kind of create a vision and a flow. And it was real important to create, to harness technology, but also a flowing type of facility that wanted you to peer around every corner, so to speak. And when I say corner, that's really a misnomer because there's a lot of soft edges in this building. It's very curvilinear. But the important thing was to take advantage of the 16-foot high deck and try and, you know, concrete floors and make it feel as though it truly was an innovation center, something that was built around the structure itself. And so and we accomplished that. I mean, I've seen meetings where they're riding tricycles around the space, you know. So it's to get people their juices flowing and that space accomplished that.
And then to encourage a collaboration, because that's kind of the heart of innovation, right? You have to be able to work together and pull teams together and grab somebody and have a meeting, or grab three people and have a meeting. It has to be able to flex to whatever kind of where the creativity takes you.
Yes, and there's great spaces within the space. There's cafes and there's little carve outs and there's soundproof rooms if need be. And the space has really become a hub for other businesses in this marketplace to want to use the space and bring their people there and show off what's happening in Broward County and how the space is benefiting the community. And there's events back to back all the time in this space. And it's really being recognized across the region as a center, the center for innovation in this marketplace.
So what were some of the, I mean, the pandemic obviously was a challenge, but was it difficult to get everybody kind of on the same page thematically?
From a standpoint of program or a standpoint of the construction?
Well, the construction. Well, first you had the programming that you had to say, okay, these are going to be the core tenants, and these are the areas that we want to focus in on and be, you know, kind of best in class. And then you had to build something that accommodated those.
So, well, I'll take it, Dave. I mean, I think, you know, you had multiple challenges in the project, and a lot of them related ultimately through the pandemic, right? It's a unique space, right, which required unique finishes, right? Unique teams that could put these different finishes and different building material types into the space. And certainly, you know, having a global pandemic at that time didn't make it any easier to source, you know, those special materials. So that challenge you had, and then just, you know, getting staff out to the job site. It was at a time where, one person contracted COVID, and, if you had, you know, been anywhere near him, you were required to, you know, isolate for, I think it was 2 weeks at the time, right? So you were constantly dealing with losing people and crews on the job site. It's a 60,000 square foot space, so people were able to spread out, but, at some point you're working on top of each other. So it was definitely a challenge on that side of it. And you had to be able to adapt and make changes on the fly. And that's really where having, you know, people like Sharp Development in there and David to help facilitate those changes and make the decisions in a timely manner so that we didn't stop production on the project.
So it was kind of living into how entrepreneurs handle things, right? It's, you got to keep moving, you got to make things happen, and you got to just find a way.
Yeah, there's no just throwing your hands up and going, well, we're just going to sit here and wait, right? There may be temporary things that you put in, you know, for the time being that you'd have to come back when materials come in. But yeah, you have to be able to adapt, and that's just the construction business in general. I think you always have to be able to adapt and overcome, for sure.
Now, when you started out on this project, I'm sure everybody was super excited because this is kind of a new and different initiative probably for each of you. When did you start feeling like, hey, this is going to be something special?
From my perspective, it was the first time I heard about it. Dave, I'm not sure about you, but I'm on the ambassadors board for NSU. We've been working on campus for 20 years, and the first time I heard about it, it was exciting for me. I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur myself, and so I wanted to make sure everybody I came in contact knew that I wanted to be the guy to build that project. So,
yeah, it was the same thing for us. I mean, we got on, you heard about it like a little bit before us, but we, once I knew of the project and understood that Alan Levan was behind it and how exciting it was going to be. And I'll be honest with you, when you sit and talk to a guy like John Wensveen and you get his energy and you know what, that he's going to be leading the charge, we were all in. And seeing some of the initial renderings and what the space was going to look like and how it was going to function. It's a one of a kind. I mean, I've been in this business for almost 40 years, and we've done a lot of great interior spaces, but this is one to showcase for sure, because it's you can duplicate it, but I don't think you get the same effect that this one has.
So when you were kind of building it, how did you keep... like, instead of, it seems like there was so much creativity at the beginning and so much vision. How do you kind of rein some of that into the realities of, okay, this is what we have to deal with. This is the space. This is what we can and can't do. Like, was that a difficult challenge of kind of reining in all that can be?
It's the challenge. Yes. Right. There's putting a beautiful building on paper, right? And then there's, like you said, there's the reality of, can we physically do this? Our framing crew invested in new technology that helped them lay the project out. Like David had mentioned, there's radius walls all over the space, right? So had they not invested in this equipment, it would have been next to impossible to get everything right. But having regular on-site meetings with the folks as the project was being built was the only way that we could work through, you know, kind of the I didn't anticipate that coming up sort of stuff, right?
Right.
And there was quite a bit of that, and not so much on the side of, you know, maybe things that weren't thought out in the design process, but stuff that popped up because we were building this into an existing space, right? Which had its own unique issues long before anybody got involved in that. So,
and you know, one of the things, and you hit a really good point there, Dustin, and that is that, you know, weekly meetings are critical and documenting things, and even it is a daily pulse on the job too, and you have to keep the job flowing. So it's important that the architect, the contractor, and the owner are constantly in communication so that all the information is flowing and keeping people moving so they don't have a slowdown. And you know, back to the issue of, you know, is it what we thought it would be? Very much so. And again, one of the things we're usually tasked with is let's get it budgeted. Let's get it scheduled. And we had a budget to hold. We knew what our vision was, and we put exactly what was on that paper on those renderings is exactly what we put in the space. Dustin, I don't believe we compromised on anything. It looks like the initial renderings do, and probably better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think really the biggest challenge we had on that project was air systems. And again, it was an existing thing. And working around that system that we couldn't change. So.
Right. 100%. And it was an existing occupied library that we had to work on the fifth floor right. With badging and at COVID times and, you know, escalations and all those things, not just COVID. We were dealing with, hey, the price of copper is going up. And no, I didn't hear that. Sorry, you've got the wrong number. But we figured out a way to get through it. Right. And we did. And you know, the trade partners worked with us and we figured out a way to still keep this thing on budget. So. Total success.
Now, you mentioned that the success of the project currently and that people are coming from all over the country, all over the world to kind of take a look at this and kind of dream big dreams for themselves that maybe we can make an innovation center where we are. Do you have any advice for folks who are at the beginning stages of building out their own innovation centers? What are some kind of key do's and don'ts from what you learned through this project? It sounds like communication is an important one.
Communication is important. I believe that like any project, you have to have a fully defined program up front. Otherwise, the project will get away from you. We call it scope creep. And the vision is important. You can't design the vision as you go. You need a vision. You need a program. And you can put pencil to paper, put your pencils down and move forward. So, Dustin, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's everything, right? I try and explain to my clients on every project that, you know, it's like sharpening the axe before you start swinging on the tree, right? You gotta take the time up front to think through everything you possibly can. Because by the time we start building, it's far too late to make changes efficiently. Because you've got such specialized material and products going in there that you have to, and especially in today's market, you have to purchase equipment, you know, long or far ahead of when you need it on the project.
And we didn't have this problem then, but right now, Crestron controls are 70 weeks out. Our project wasn't 70 weeks long. I think our project was 40 weeks, whatever it was. So there's things that are problematic right now in the marketplace that it's identifying what it is you need, like you're saying, Justin, ahead of time. And one of the things that this, and every space has technology, but this space, correct me if I'm wrong, Dustin, was uniquely just full of technology on every corner. And so if you're not incorporating that into design and having that information up front, it'll slow a job down. And we had a good partner with NSU and our collective teams to make sure that happened.
Yeah, I would say also, you know, in that planning phase, making sure you know who the users are going to be, at least everybody you can possibly figure on, and getting their involvement and their input into those spaces. Because there was definitely some changes that had to be made as the end users came in and said, well, you know, we need to adjust this here or there. And it wasn't anything substantial, but you know, getting their involvement during the construction process or sooner is super helpful.
So now, for the folks who haven't been over there, can you share some of your favorite parts of the center?
I'll tell you, for me, it's the and forgive me, I don't know the name of it anymore. I forgot, but there's temporary walls that kind of accordion up into the ceiling. They drop down to make different meeting spaces. So they're complicated to begin with, but they're also soundproof. So it's a very difficult detail. And that one required a lot of collaboration between the design team, the construction, and the supplier of the product. I don't remember where it came from. It was out of the country.
Yeah, Skyfold is the product.
Skyfold, that's it, right. So and it had to be roughed into very, very tight tolerances. But at the end of the day, everything got put in. It's functional, and it's soundproof. It's an impressive space.
But to Lee's question, like from a visitor perspective, it's a cool space because you hit one button and all these six walls just kind of come down slowly. They don't fall on top of you, and then it creates like these multiple spaces that can be used for different functions. You know, I think the most unique, the most I guess sought after unique space in that facility is a cyber lab. You know, it's kind of it's ranked some U.S. you know Army. It's ranked as one of these top grade facilities in the country where it's completely cyber secure. But there's a really wonderful room at the end of the building. I call it the Kiva. You know, where remember those platforms and they had to be fire rated, and we built these really cool wood platforms where they can gather 100 people in there, and they've got a video wall up front, and they have great functions in there for whether it's a class or whether we're bringing folks through there and explain to them, you know, how some type of new technology or innovation works. So that's where I would take them first, because it's very impressive.
Now, was there anything, you mentioned some surprises when the end user starts using the space, and then, you know, they're asking for things that would be useful for them. Are you finding that the folks that are coming in there and taking part of activities there and using the space, are they kind of blown away? I would imagine just walking in, their heads explode.
I'll tell you, I haven't met anybody that's been through this space that hasn't just gotten super excited when they want to tell you about it. And there's very few people, frankly, that haven't been through the space just to see it. It's been quite a showpiece. So, and everybody's extremely impressed with it.
And you know, they're very accommodating too. I mean, the folks here, John, in particular, it's created. What's really wonderful is I feel we've created a great friendship with the center. I mean, we've been to events there, and they're very complimentary of our assistance and our teaming with them. And so it's a great space. I like to get there more often. but if I have an event that I wanted to host, that's the first place that I would call and ask, look, I want to host. I want to bring people up there, showcase it. And be able to have a great place to have that function.
So now, Dustin, if somebody wants to connect with you and learn more about JWR Construction, can you share website coordinates?
Sure. I mean, our website is just www.jwrconstruction.com. If you want to connect with me personally, LinkedIn is always the best way to get in touch with me.
And David, the best way to get a hold of you and your team?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, the company is Sharp Project Developments. I'm Sharp. My partner, I'm Shop. He's Sharp. But Sharp Project Developments. Our website is sharpproj.com, P-R-O-J for short. And I'm also on LinkedIn, of course. And you know, we've been doing this. We've been in business since 1990. And all we do is project management, owner's representation on everything from this, we call this a tenant improvement build out project, to ground up. So, and I know Dustin's of the same. So we partner in other projects, and we're looking forward to doing more work with Dustin and his team.
And then I would imagine each of you are starting to get calls from folks around the world, maybe about building innovation centers in their neck of the woods. Are you finding that to be the case?
I haven't got any calls for international yet, but we're definitely getting calls. And I think, like David alluded to, the team at the innovation has been, for lack of a better term, I think big cheerleaders of the entire project.
Big advocates of ours, yes. And that's what all we want when we finish a project. We just want to know that we can hang it on the wall and use that folks as a reference and go, look, yeah, they did a great job. We'd call them again in a heartbeat. And, you know, we've been told by John and Alan, if we do any more work here or modifications, you're the first folks we're going to call. So that's all I really want to hear.
Yeah. One thing, Lee, and I forgot to mention, though, if anybody's interested, we did monthly updates on the project videos. So if anybody's interested, you can kind of see the project come to life on JWR's YouTube channel as well. So,
and just the fact to build something like this, an innovation center, just in its name, it really speaks to the priorities of a university. You know, building out one of these centers is so critical to the brand of the university and what it's trying to accomplish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a big boost to the university. I mean, they're doing so many things. They're going to be building a cancer center. This NSU has become this real institution, and I think this has helped them kind of step it up a notch.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being part of the show. You're doing such important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Innovation Radio.
This episode of Innovation Radio was brought to you by the world's first theme park for entrepreneurs, the Levan Center of Innovation, the only innovation center in the nation to support the founder's journey from birth of idea through successful exit or global expansion. If you are ready to launch or scale your business, please check out the Levan Center of Innovation by visiting www.nova.edu/innovation.